This is the word of the Lord. If you're able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, beginning with verse 21. Jesus began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you will tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years, and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon, and there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha, the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian." All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. This is the word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Okay, fellas in particular, I don't want to be sexist about this. I'm sure some of you ladies go through the same thing, but you guys will really know what I'm talking about. Bonnie and I, I'll say, "You want to go out and eat?" And she'll say, "Sure, let's go out and eat." Oh, there she is. She'll say, "Yeah, let's go out and eat." So we'll get in the car and we'll... Wait a minute, I gotta wait till she comes back. You know, they say that one of the bad things about living in a pastor's house, don't say or do anything because it'll end up in a sermon. When Bonnie and I get together and we're going to go out to eat, we'll get in the car and we'll be headed down the road, and I'll say to her after a block or two, "So where do you want to go to eat?" And she'll say, "Oh, I don't care, it's up to you." And I'll say, "Okay, let's go to Ponderosa." She'll say, "No, I don't like Ponderosa." All right. I'll think about it a little bit, and I'll say, I bought some Chinese today." She goes, "No, I'm not in the mood for Chinese." I said, "Okay, McDonald's? No, I don't want to go to McDonald's either. Let's go someplace else." "Well, where do you want to go?" "Oh, I don't care, it's up to you." So I got this figured out, right? I know at least 3 places that she really likes. And I'll say, "Well, how about Red Lobster, Olive Garden, or Applebee's?" And she'll say, "Oh, that sounds nice. You decide." That's why I'm bald, okay? Just so you know. Ah! Yeah. Well, I mean, eventually we do decide on something, because you can see I'm not starving to death. We play that game, and I'm sure, I know already, even after first service, a lot of people said, "Yeah, we do that too." Yeah, a lot of fun. And there are places that we really like locally. Colonial Grill. How many people here like Colonial Grill? Oh, how many of you have been to Manor Grill? Oh, that's over by our way. That's good stuff too. Now, how many of you like Double Wide? I like Double Wide. Bonnie don't like Double Wide. They're chili? Good chili? I'll have to try that. Yeah. They got rice balls that are really good. Very filling. Yeah, it's good. I could talk about this all day. This is good stuff here. Jesus went to the synagogue, and as is the custom, they asked somebody, one of the men in the congregation, to read the scriptures for the day, and they bring him the scroll. He unrolls the scroll, and he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and he read from that scroll. And here's what he read.
The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he told them, this day in your hearing, this has been done. I have fulfilled this. Well, they got mad when he said that he was doing what that was the Messiah's job to do that stuff. And when he claimed in so many words to be the Messiah, well, we were talking about a bunch of religious people who lived and breathed and ate religion every day, the Jewish people. That was their way of life. And they became very upset when he said that. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? Who does he think he is? And so they drag him out of the synagogue and take him up to the cliff. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. And Jesus just says, this isn't far enough, turns around and walks through them and walks away. But Jesus said that today this has been fulfilled in your hearing, because he wanted them to know that he was there with a purpose. He didn't just happen to be attending church that day. He was not wandering aimlessly through life, like so many Christians seem to do. We wander aimlessly through life, just enjoying our family, going to work, spending our money, and visiting here and there, and playing and having a good time here and there, and working at certain goals, gathering possessions, aimlessly. And Jesus wants us to know that's not how it's supposed to be at all. As Christians, we are not to be reactors, waiting for something to happen so then we can react to it with the love of Christ. We are supposed to be actors. We are supposed to be initiators, the one who go out. We are supposed to go out and engage people in situations with the love of Almighty God at the get-go, not wait for it to happen to come to us. See, we've been given a purpose in life. We weren't created to just do our own thing. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Specific good works. Not to just wander aimlessly around doing good every now and then when we bumped into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. In other words, that old life that we lived in the world, just serving our own pleasures, is gone. The new creation, Jesus Christ, has come into our lives. Things have changed forever. So it says that the old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Sin is what separates us from God. But because of Jesus, God looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and that blood washes us white as snow, takes away our sins. You and I know that, but a whole lot of people out in the world do not know that. And so God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And it says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We are ambassadors. An ambassador doesn't get up every day and say, oh, what do I feel like doing today? I'm going to go visit so-and-so. I think I'll go to the bookstore, go take in a movie, go to the beach. Maybe work in the garden. Ambassador gets up and says, what are my orders today? What is it that my commander in chief would have me do today? How can I make relations between this country that I've been sent to and my country better? You and I, executive decree from God, we are to be ambassadors to the world. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore into the whole world and baptize every nation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, Jesus said. We are ambassadors of Christ who are supposed to reconcile the whole world to God through Jesus, so that their sins will be forgiven, so that they'll be brought into right standing with God, because one day it's all going to come to an end. And we need to get busy and fulfill the purpose that God has put upon us in our lives. Now, like I told the kids, we all have a purpose in life. We get that from reading the Bible. We are to love one another. We are to forgive. We are to forget. We are to help each other, feed each other, clothe each other, visit each other, educate each other. We are to worship God together. Everybody's supposed to do these things. But it says that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts and does works in us, and that God has prepared in advance works for us to do, so we have specific purposes too. You have a specific purpose in your life. There's somebody God wants you to go to with the ministry of reconciliation, whether it's a coworker, family member, friend, neighbor, whatever. There are different ways of spreading that message through the things that we do, through the things that we say, through the things that we don't do. We are not to sit in judgment, but we are to love people to Jesus so that they will be reconciled to God. There is work out there that needs to be done. What is the purpose that God has called you to? Now, Jeremiah, when God told him that, Jeremiah said to him, Jeremiah, he says, in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 8, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And that should answer any questions you got about whether abortion is right or not. God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And then Jeremiah says what so many Christians say, even today, alas, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. And God says to Jeremiah and to every one of us, I don't want your excuses. Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Listen, even Jesus didn't say and do what he wanted to do. He only said and did what the Father told him to do. So we all have a purpose in life. A general purpose as Christians and a specific purpose for our very lives. And we need to find out what that is. And we do that by prayer, study of God's word, by hanging out with other Christians, by worshiping Almighty God, by being involved in ministry, and by asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Ask and you shall receive. What is God's purpose for you in your life? Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So don't worry about all the incidentals of life. Fulfill your purpose in life. Ask God what it is he wants you to do. We're going to have communion in just a moment. And as we take communion, I want you to repent of your sin. I want you to forgive anybody who's hurt you in any way whatsoever, to choose forgiveness so that you can be forgiven, because we're coming to a table where we've been forgiven great trespasses against God. So we must also forgive. And I want you to ask God what purpose he has for you specifically in your life. And don't forget, no excuses. God calls you to it. God will take you through it. God will enable you. And the best part about fulfilling your purpose is this. Results aren't up to you. They're not up to me. Results are up to God. So the altar rail is open. After communion, if you want to come down to the altar rail during the singing of the last hymn and say to God, "Here I am, Lord. Your will be done." It's open. It's always open. God loves you, and so do I.